The following programming is sponsored by Integrity Investment Services. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Ferenc Toth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Ferenc is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Ferenc cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Ferenc Toth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. Well, the big news recently is, of course, the Federal Reserve has dropped interest rates by half a percentage point. That's a bigger drop than many were expecting. Typically do quarter point moves when they're doing a normal cycle where they're trying to increase or decrease interest rates. Typically, when the Federal Reserve moves a half a percent or more, it's usually in an emergency or panic type of situation. And that is why a lot of people are now questioning the Fed's move. Did the Federal Reserve panic and overreact? Or are they that concerned? They're now spooked by, obviously, the jobs numbers, the significant revisions of the jobs numbers downward, I think forced the Federal Reserve's hand in terms of a interest rate cut. Are they looking at underlying factors in the labor market that cause them to, well, panic and drop a half a point? These are the questions a lot of people are asking. And the third one really is, because they did this significant interest rate cut right before an election, was there some political motivation involved? It's hard to say. The Federal Reserve was on track to hold higher for longer. They stated that repeatedly until the revised jobs numbers, where they revised them down 818,000 over the past year, which is one of the largest revisions ever done in history, and was actually reduced the jobs numbers by about 30% in total. It's not that these jobs vanished. They never existed in the first place. So it was all a mirage. It was a facade. It was fake. It was not real. I believe that that spooked the Federal Reserve, at least to some degree, and perhaps maybe caused them to panic. And why I say this is my concern. Primary concern for the Federal Reserve is taming inflation. And inflation rates, although the rates of increases has declined, inflation rates are still closer to 3% than 2%, which is a stated goal of the Federal Reserve and has been for decades. But of course, when they get up above those numbers of 2%, where we saw upwards even, we hit 9% at one point, that's devastating to most Americans. Again, it's not the annual increases that are so difficult or so challenging for people. It really does come down to the cumulative effect. Having increases of inflation one year and the next and the cumulative totals that really devastate Americans' financial positions. But back to the Federal Reserve and their rate cut. Are there more rate cuts coming? That's another question mark. A lot of people think that is the case. And we'll determine whether did the Federal Reserve overreact or not. Was there a reason for a half a point rate cut? Again, it's typically a panic move or a crisis type move, which makes you believe that the Federal Reserve is looking at some numbers and things that aren't pretty. They're wanting to keep inflation down, but they also are trying to keep employment steady. I was looking at the history of what the Federal Reserve has done with interest rates, both up and down, say over the last 25 years or so. And it really is incredible how often, in fact, every time in the last 25 years, when the Federal Reserve either starts to raise rates or lower them, they overdo it. In other words, they raise them too high or they push them down too low, and they do it pretty aggressively. That's why, again, I would have much preferred a quarter point drop rather than a half point, because the Federal Reserve, again, has a longstanding history of overreacting. One of the things that they state they are aware of, but they don't seem to be able to control their human emotions, obviously, is when the Federal Reserve changes interest rates, it takes about 6 months for that to kind of trickle through the economy, much of the effects of it. In other words, they're dealing with lagging indicators, and they're looking at scenarios. So they're oftentimes behind the eight ball, if you know what I mean. They certainly, definitely were behind the eight ball in raising interest rates back up after they had dropped them to near zero levels. The federal funds rate was close to zero for much of the last decade, and they held it there for far, far too long. And nearly anyone with any common sense could see that. I was discussing that several years ago about how, what in the world are they doing there? They dropped the rates because of 08-09 and basically kept them there till 2016 before they even started to tepidly start to increase them. And then, of course, dropped them again in 2020 and kept them there for a couple more years, far longer than they should have, which created the asset bubble that we're dealing with both in the stock and real estate markets. Are they going to be able to unwind all of this and hit that soft landing, as many people have stated? History says no. Indicators say no. And this latest action by the Federal Reserve, which again, I think was a panic move, an overreaction, further confirms my suspicion that the Federal Reserve is not going to be going to be able to handle this economic cycle any better than they handled many of the previous ones. In other words, they're going to overdo it. They'll probably go down too far, too fast, and create another inflationary cycle. And why I say that is if you go back in history and look at the 1970s, that is exactly what the Federal Reserve did. They had inflation that hit in the early 1970s with the oil embargoes. And then nearly every time when inflation started to slow down, it looked like they were getting a handle on it, which we could say that recently with this cycle, they started dropping the rates again. And guess what? Inflation reared its ugly head again. The Federal Reserve dropping the rates significantly like they've done and probably will continue to overdo it, overreact, are likely going to create another inflationary cycle. And this happened three or four times, actually, throughout the 1970s. And that's why it literally took a decade for the Federal Reserve to finally kill inflation dead. It wasn't really wiped out dead until Paul Volcker in the late 1970s raised the federal funds rate to 20%. And that killed it dead, finally. But that wasn't until after a decade of the Federal Reserve fighting inflation over and over and over again, because they reacted too quickly and overdid it and lowered rates too quickly. And I'm afraid that they're going to repeat the same mistakes again. Time will tell. We'll see what happens. But I'm afraid that history is going to repeat itself, unfortunately. Now, from our standpoint with your personal bank and annuities and all this kind of stuff, I'm going to tell you the best time in 42 years because of the higher interest rates, for one, but your personal bank is actually going to thrive even further and be for two reasons. Even with the Fed lowering rates, I feel like prematurely and likely too quickly, over aggressively, no one sees on the horizon where the Federal Reserve is going to drop interest rates back to where they were, you know, the most of the last decade, where literally the federal funds rate was, you know, 0.25%. I mean, almost zero. There's an interest rate that's important for individual consumers to understand, and that's called the prime rate. The prime rate is typically defined as the interest rate that an individual can borrow money with good credit, the best rate they can get. And prime is typically about 3% higher than the Federal Reserve rate. Over much of the last decade, where we had a federal funds rate of about 0.25%, 0.25, mortgages and such, you could get as low as in the 3% or low, sometimes even below that, 30-year fixed mortgages. So about 3% above the federal funds rate. Why is this so important? Well, your personal bank allows you to access funds at prime or minus prime, you know, half a point, a full point below prime. We have bank lines that offer that. So it's the lowest cost of borrowing an individual can access typically from anywhere. Well, with the Federal Reserve dropping interest rates now, and at being prime or below prime, the interest rates from the bank lines, the borrowing rates, will be very favorable again very soon. And on top of this, the dividends, as I've stated, are likely going to be increasing not only in this next year, but the next 3 to 5 years, because the bonds that these insurance companies are purchasing are far more profitable than the bonds they were purchasing much of the previous decade. Because the interest rates, although likely to start sliding down some, very unlikely to go anywhere down to the levels we saw most of that last decade. So the bonds that these insurance companies are buying are more profitable for them, which means they can offer higher dividends, and dividends are going to be much, very likely on the upswing for the next 3 to 5 years. That's what every expert prediction states. This is what the insurance companies themselves are stating. The historical average on dividends is around 7%. They're in the 6% rate and range now and on the increase. Borrowing rates, historically, if you average it out, prime is usually around 5%. Sometimes it can get up around 9, and it can get as low as 3. But around 5 or 6 is normal. Well, if you're earning money, you're getting paid dividends at 6 to 7%, let's say, over the next few years. Your borrowing rates, let's say in the 5 to 6% range, and you can borrow at prime or prime minus 1, what does that mean? If you're earning 6 to 7% dividend and your borrowing costs are somewhere between 4 and 5, let's say, what's your money doing? If you understand your personal bank, you're earning dividends with the policy, and then when you borrow, you access the funds using a line of credit. We discuss this all the time on this show. Your cost of borrowing is less than the monies you're earning. Of course, when you access the funds, where do you get them from? Do you get them from the insurance company or the bank? You get them from the bank. Therefore, the monies that you've contributed to the policy are still earning dividends each and every year, the rest of your life, compound. You access it through the bank line, and again, it's that spread. It's that positive cash flow or positive arbitrage. You can create a positive cash flow in your money. You can earn 1, 2, 3% even, potentially in the next few years. And historically, that is the case. In fact, 20 of the last 24 years, you received positive cash flow on your money. And that's the power of your personal bank. It's one of the very, very few financial tools that allow you to do that. Are you concerned about the direction our country is headed and how it may affect your money? I'm Ferentz, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Your Personal Bank provides a place to grow your money safely with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This keeps your money safe, and you can take advantage of opportunities regardless of the economic situation. For more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422. That's yourpersonalbank.com. Economic freedom is freedom, and our freedoms are under attack. I'm Ferentz, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. In this time of uncertainty, can you grow your money safely, reduce taxes, and ensure you don't run out of money in retirement? Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, insured and tax-free. For more info, tune into the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ferentz Toth. Want more information? Contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ferentz Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. And yes, you will reach me. Again, that's yourpersonalbank.com. So the Federal Reserve has dropped interest rates recently by half a point. That's a big deal. They typically do not do that unless they're in a panic or crisis mode. We'll see if they overreacted or not, but it's typically not a good sign, by the way, for the economy or the markets, because the Federal Reserve is worried about what's going on, and that's why they do the half a point drop, the significant drops. We will see what happens. But my point is this. The weakness in the economy, the overspending of the federal government of bonds, issuing more bonds in history than at any point in history, financial irresponsibility of our federal government creates opportunities for you and I. You see, dividends are on the rise. Dividends are increasing with insurance companies because they're still far more profitable than they were a decade ago. Bonds that they purchase because the interest rates are higher now than they were the past decade, even if they go down some. And the Federal Reserve has a history of dropping their rates quickly, which means the cost of borrowing is going to go down quickly, which means if you're earning more than you're getting charged when you access funds, you get to keep the difference. That's the positive cash flow. That's the power of your personal bank. That's the power of getting your money to work for you and work for you further, more than just investing it and then letting it grow and at some point taking it out. When you take it out, you lose the ability of all future growth. With your personal bank doing this, growing dividends, accessing through the bank lines, guess what? You still have the ability of allowing your money to continue to grow and getting some benefit off of that. The difference, that is. The difference of what you're earning in dividends minus what your cost of borrowing is. And we could be more excited because the way that things are going, again, dividends on the upswing, likely for the next 3 to 5 years at least. Borrowing rates, definitely on the downswing. That will create a big, larger and larger positive arbitrage spread. And like I said, if you contact me at yourpersonalbank.com, I can send you a chart showing over the spread, the difference of what the positive cash flow on your money is, let's say over the last 25 years. 20 of the past 25 years, you've had cash flow or positive arbitrage. And for much of that time frame, that positive arbitrage has been as much as 3% plus. In other words, it wasn't that long ago we had folks earning 6% dividends and getting charged 3% interest, for example, on their money, therefore keeping the difference or keeping half the gain. We could very likely be heading to that same type of scenario where people could be earning 6, 7% and getting charged, say, 4 or 5% on the money. Well, if you're earning 7 and you're getting charged 4, let's say, prime minus a point, that'd be pretty typical. Guess what's going to happen? You'd be earning 3% on your money after you spent it, after you used it, after you allocated it for other purposes, whether it was investments, whether you're buying things, paying off debt, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. You can obtain that positive arbitrage. And again, we couldn't be more excited because by the Fed dropping the rates by half a point recently, the borrowing rates are clearly heading to the downside. The cost of borrowing is clearly going down, which again creates more opportunity for positive arbitrage while dividends are clearly on the upswing. Now, a few other things about economy in general, that is, with the Federal Reserve dropping interest rates, for people that are borrowing, that borrow money, this is some good news, no question about it. The cost of borrowing on many things can likely go down, especially if you have variable rate type of loans. Now, if you have a fixed loan, it's not going to make any difference. But if you're looking at a new loan, the cost of borrowing has just gone down a little bit. Now, unless you need to borrow money right now to purchase an item, whether it's a car or a business item or a house or anything else for that matter, would I recommend borrowing money at this point? I'd have to say no. I would wait and see what is going to happen over the next few months regarding the Federal Reserve. The fact that they've panicked and dropped rates by half a point means they're likely going to do some more interest rate drops in the fairly near future, which means the cost of borrowing will go down even more. That will likely cause many people to wait, for example, to make big purchases like homes and cars or businesses, because the cost of borrowing likely is going to go down in the near future. So if you're going to borrow money for a big ticket item and you don't necessarily need it immediately, waiting might pay off. Another reason why I think this is significant is U.S. consumer savings are pretty much gone. And it's at the second lowest level it's been since they've been tracking these numbers. I just found another chart kind of breaking it down in another way. And this goes back to like 1985. And what this shows is the net savings percentage of gross national income. So knows the percentage of savings a person, the average American has to income is actually in the negative right now. It's about negative 1%. And that is the lowest level, second lowest level we've ever seen since 1985. The lowest was during the Great Recession. Savings rates have actually been negative for the last six quarters, which is the second longest streak in over 70 years. So savings has been, the average consumer savings has been wiped out at the worst levels we've seen, except for the Great Recession. So this is not good, folks. This is very recessionary. And that's why I say the Federal Reserve dropping interest rates a half a point, I don't necessarily think is good news. I think it's more the Federal Reserve is looking at stuff that's getting really ugly really fast, and they panicked. And I believe they have reason to panic. So more and more people will become aware of and question, why are they freaking out? Well, there must be a reason. A lot of people are out there saying, oh, we need the Fed to lower rates, lower rates, lower rates. Folks, that's usually not good news when the Fed lowers rates, because they're doing it for a reason. The economy is struggling. There's bad economic news, right? Also, here's another concerning, this is showing the national average of all the states, for example, the share of adults that are experiencing difficulty paying for household expenses has now jumped to over 37%. Americans are definitely feeling the pain of inflation. There's no question about that. And here's another one I thought that was quite interesting. It's called the Restaurant Performance Index. It's a very good measuring tool in terms of consumer spending. In other words, it tracks the health of the restaurant industry and how much people are spending on restaurants. Obviously, restaurant spending is one of the first things that consumers cut back on when times are tough. So this is the worst period of time we've seen in people reducing their restaurant spending in over 20 years. Those are red flags that point out what's going on out there. And the point they're making out is eating out is becoming a luxury for many people. And another one here that I thought was very interesting is the jobs openings has been revised downward 15 of the last 19 months, which is the longest streak, again, since the Great Recession. We're seeing a pattern here, aren't we, folks? All these economic indicators are showing their worst levels we've seen. Here's the problem, and I think this is what the Federal Reserve is looking at and why they panicked. All these charts, all these measuring tools, all these economic indicators are pointing down the worst we've seen since then, and they're continuing to go down. I think what their fear is if these numbers, if these economic situations continue at the pace they are in the direction that they are, we could be seeing numbers and economic numbers that are similar to what we saw in 08, 09, which is known as the Great Recession. It's very likely that's what is going to happen. I'm not going to say for sure, but certainly as you see all of these economic indicators, all these charts, all these numbers, that's what it points to. And I think it's just become abundantly obvious, and so much so that the Federal Reserve, even though they were wanting to fight inflation, and inflation rates are still higher than their target of 2%, all of these numbers they're looking at are horrendous and are all tracking the wrong way. And they don't want to, they're trying to avoid a repeat of what we saw in 08 and 09 in the Great Recession. Now, will their actions be successful? That's the big question that we won't know for a while. The history of the Federal Reserve has been so poor in terms of being slow to the party, overreacting both ways to the upside and the downside. I find it very difficult to believe that their actions are going to stave off or stem a hard recession. It remains to be seen what's going to happen. But if I was a betting man, I would definitely be not placing my bets on the Federal Reserve to accomplish and do the right thing to avoid a hard recession. I don't think it's in the cards. It's possible, but I don't think it's probable. I think the far more likely scenario is we're dealing with a hard recession going forward. And of course, one of the primary reasons behind that, obviously, is the cause of this bubble, which then leads to recession, far too much spending, federal spending, which created inflation and created the bubble and created the problem. That's what's created the problem that we're now dealing with, and everything's slowing down as a result. So again, the cause of the problem, it's kind of like a disease. If you've got an issue, you got a medical issue and you got a disease, are you going to treat the symptom or are you going to treat the cause of the problem? When it comes to the economy, the root cause of the problem is not being addressed at all. And that is excess federal government spending. I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned in the next segment because I'm going to discuss a few things about that that I think you'll find very, very eye-opening. This is Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Again, it's, and yes, you will reach me, it's Ference at yourpersonalbank.com. So one of the things that we're dealing with, the cause overarching issue that we have is the excess federal government spending, which is creating this massive record-setting debt, which continues to grow and increase. And the interest on that debt, of course, increases faster and faster as the amount of the debt increases. Now, this reduction of the interest rate with the Federal Reserve will help the debt a little bit. In interest payments on the debt, we were recently exceeding $3 billion a day, billion dollars per day. If interest rates dropped 1%, the interest payments on the debt would reduce to about $2.5 billion a day. So yes, it's a little bit less than what it was before, but if we go back 4 years ago, the interest payments on the debt were like $1.5 billion. So we went from about $1.5 billion a day to $3 billion a day, double. And if interest rates go down, it'll cut back a little, but it'll still be far higher than it ever was before. Lower interest rates will help a little bit, but it's definitely not going to solve the problem. Only thing that's going to solve the problem is spending less. How much should the, you know, we hear the wealthy should pay their fair share and all that kind of stuff. Do you realize if you taxed every billionaire in the United States 100%, in other words, you took everything they had, so the government spending and the interest and everything, all spending, it wouldn't last more than a couple of weeks. That's if you took everything from the billionaires. And the reason why is even though some of the billionaires have a lot of assets, there's just not that many of them. And it's a drop in the bucket. Where the real money is the middle class. Granted, they have far less than the billionaires, but there's so many more of us. That's where the money is, folks. And that's why any government suggests a tax on the wealthy, you can be pretty much assured it's eventually going to trickle down to the middle class because it's a way for the government to get their foot in the door on a certain type of tax. But eventually, and it usually doesn't take very long, a few years later, everyone gets taxed. The income tax itself was originally promised to only affect the top 1%. Well, that didn't last very long, did it? That's why any tax proposal for the wealthy to pay more, you should be very, very cautious and concerned and very suspect about. And this unrealized capital gains proposals that we've heard from the Harris administration would absolutely devastate our economy because those people would just stop investing. Let's face it. They stop investing in capital gains assets, which happen to be things like the stock market, real estate, business development. If you want to stop and destroy all of that, and you want to cut everybody's 401k probably in half, go ahead. Implement a unrealized capital gains tax on the wealthy and watch what happens. It will destroy asset values unlike any of us have ever seen in our lifetimes. That's not political. That's just economic facts. But back to this whole situation here. Here's another point that illustrates the problem. In the month of August of 2024, 55 cents out of every dollar that the federal government spent was borrowed. They spent more than double of what they received. You cannot continue that type of spending indefinitely. Even the federal government eventually is going to have to pay the piper. This debt cycle eventually will come to a halt. The most likely scenario that we hear from economists and experts is austerity measures. And again, what is the austerity measures? It's quite simple. Federal government is not broke. Fiscal year 2023, the federal government brought in $4.4 trillion of tax revenue, yet spent about $6.2 trillion. In other words, they spent $1.7 trillion more than they received, which amounts to about 30%. Well, the first thing we need to recognize, is that the government is not broke. It is receiving a significant amount of income. In fact, the $4.4 trillion is at or close to a record. So it's not an income problem that our federal government has. It is a spending problem. They're spending about 30% more than they receive. This year, it's projected, we'll find out in the next month or two, that they will spend about $2 trillion more than they receive. You cannot continue to do that forever. The federal government also cannot just print money willy-nilly. Money people think that, but that's actually not the case. What they have to do is when they spend money that they don't receive, in other words, print it, they then have to sell a bond to offset that currency. They had to sell $1.7 trillion of bonds last year. If you offer record amounts of bonds, to get the bond buyers to purchase those bonds, you have to entice them or increase the interest rate you're willing to pay them because there's a record amount of supply. It's basic supply and demand, folks. You have to entice more buyers. To entice more, what is a bond? When a bond buyer, whether it's a pension fund or an insurance company or a sovereign wealth fund, those are the institutional type investors that buy bonds, ones that are looking for cash flow, income. They're buying a debt instrument. What it is you take a bond, it's a certain period of time, the federal government sells it to the bond buyer, and they promise that bond buyer to pay a certain amount of interest for a certain period of time. So there's, 6-month bonds, 2-year bonds, 10-year, 20, 30-year bonds, and they have certain interest rates that they will pay for that period of time, much like a CD at a bank, where you buy a CD and the bank pays you a certain interest rate for that period of time. That's really what a bond is. Well, when you're selling a record amount of bonds, and there's only so many bond buyers, what do you have to do to get more buyers or people to buy more of it? Well, you have to sweeten the deal. You have to pay them a higher interest rate. Insurance companies are huge buyers of bonds. That's a majority of what their portfolios are invested in. The dividends that they pay out to investors, people invest in your personal bank policies, are based on the profits that they earn as a company. As they purchase more profitable bonds, because the federal government is offering higher and higher interest rates because they have to get all this excess spending of all these bonds sold so they can spend this money, the bonds of these insurance companies are becoming more and more profitable. Again, that's where you and I as an individual can take advantage. There's an opportunity where we can take advantage of the federal government's lack of fiscal responsibility. We can make more money with the dividends that these insurance companies are buying, these bonds that are paying them more. Again, all the experts are saying they expect an increase in bond dividend returns because of increase in bond returns, at least for the next 3 to 5 years, if not longer. This is a generational opportunity, folks. It really is. At the same time, I'm seeing article after article discussing and indicators pointing out that because the stock market has gone up so far, so fast, and we're going very much into a weakening economy. I don't think anyone can argue that. Now the Federal Reserve has pretty much confirmed that. The next 3 to 5 years, let's say, in the stock market are likely to going to be volatile at best. That's what we hear constantly, and certainly could have a severe correction. We could have a severe recession. I'm not guaranteeing that. I'm saying that all the economic indicators and all the factors are definitely there in place for a strong or severe recession or a strong or severe correction. At the same time, we have a generational opportunity with dividends increasing over the next 3 to 5 years, if not longer, higher and higher returns, higher interest rates, and this will continue as long as the federal government spends more money than it receives. It's that simple. So you can take advantage of this, where you reallocate some of your portfolio. This is the goal. I've seen this. Some people call it the golden age of bond returns and dividends and all this. The thing I want you to understand is an individual person can't go onto the bond market and buy bonds. You typically need $100,000 minimum per issuance on the bond market, which is where you get the best deals. Well, those are institutional investors. So most people are not in that boat. But you can take advantage of institutional investors like insurance companies that pass that profit on to you. Plus, they have other profit. They have other revenue streams like fees from selling products and things like that that often enhance above bond returns. That's why the dividends are typically higher than what bonds actually pay, because one, the insurance companies are making profits on the bonds, of course, that they're investing in. They're also making other revenue streams of profit, and that adds on to the profits of the company, which means their returns are typically higher than what you can get in a bond. But yet you get all the safety. In fact, they guarantee it. It's guaranteed and insured. And they add the factor of income tax-free if it's set up properly, which is can be quite a big deal depending on your tax bracket. Also, don't forget, Congress does nothing. Income taxes and capital gain taxes will be increasing in 2026. That's just over a year from now, folks. So we're in a scenario where the economy is weakening. The Federal Reserve is confirming that through dropping interest rates. They don't do it for good reasons. The markets have gone up tremendously in the last few years, are likely to have volatility at best, severe correction at worst in the next few years. Dividends are increasing. Taxes are going up. So why not reallocate some of your funds into an asset? It's the best time it's been in over 42 years, increasing dividends, guaranteed, insured, highly liquid, and income tax-free. If you want more information on this, of course, you can contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. And I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned in the last segment, because recently there has been some tremendous attacks on the First Amendment. And we as American citizens cannot allow that to stand.
Concerned about market risk? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Diversification is one of the best ways to offset risk. Your Personal Bank is not affected by the stock or real estate markets. It is an uncorrelated asset that provides true diversification. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including Your Personal Bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422. 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. And yes, you'll reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. So we've been seeing a lot of attacks on freedom, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, over the last several years. But recently, I've seen an uptick on it that I don't know that I've experienced at any time prior. This push for censorship, freedom of speech is a privilege, not a right. No, it's the First Amendment to the Constitution. Any politician, any leader that comes out and says that freedom of speech is a privilege, statements I would never see from an American politician, you know, from Hillary Clinton, discussing outright censorship and civil and potentially criminal prosecutions should occur for those types of things. I was absolutely dumbfounded. I was in shock. Freedom of speech is the First Amendment to the Constitution. Probably the most important thing that gives us the freedoms that we have. Also, it's the first thing that autocrats, dictators, communists want to attack. They want to control anyone who wants to have power and control over the people. The first thing they go after is freedom of speech. Just go look at human history. That's just a fact. Why do they come after freedom of speech? The answer is really quite simple. If they could counter your arguments with facts, they would not need to censor you, would they? People that are in favor of censorship throughout human history have always, always been the bad guys. It's been the ones that have wanted to take control over other people. Remember that. There has never been an exception to that rule. If you think censorship in some respects, you kind of think maybe it's a good thing or the government should do this or that, you're on the wrong side of the argument. And that's just been a fact without exception throughout human history. And this is a quote from George Washington. If freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. He's right. Freedom of speech should be defended as the most important freedom we have. That's why it was the First Amendment. It was first in line because it was the most important one, and the founders understood that. So again, we should categorically denounce and replace any politician, any leader, any person who's in favor of censorship or restricting freedom of speech or the First Amendment. They should be like exiled in the court of public opinion. They should be laughed out of the room. And if they have any kind of power whatsoever or influence, that should be destroyed and denied. They should be rejected out of hand. As a wannabe tyrant, as a person who wants to control others, who's only looking out for themselves, they should be banished from the court of public opinion. And no one, frankly, should pay attention to them ever again unless they dramatically change their tune and realize and recognize that freedom of speech, the First Amendment is important, and censorship is wrong. It has always been wrong. Imagine, if you will, you tried to lock your front door to stop intruders, and then the Biden-Harris administration came with a key saying that's inhumane and forced you to keep your door open. Well, folks, that's what's happening at our border right now as we speak. Who in their right minds thinks that placing 20 or 30,000 immigrants in a town of 60,000 is a good idea? The infrastructure can't handle it. The government services can't handle it. Law enforcement, the grocery stores, the schools. None of the system is not in place to handle that type of influx. It'll cause homelessness, crime, disease, and it'll tear apart the fabric of that society. You know, the only type of people that would do something like that would have to be someone who absolutely hates the people there, or they're doing it for their own personal benefit. And that's exactly what's happened in Springfield, Ohio. 20,000 to 30,000 Haitians have been moved into that town of approximately 60,000 would destroy any town. But that's exactly what the Biden-Harris administration did. They have a program where they allow 30,000 migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela to apply for asylum monthly. So 30,000 a month. And it's estimated over the past couple of years, over 500,000 of migrants, I think they're illegal aliens. They're using a loophole in the law to try to make this legal. But over 500,000 of them have entered this country. There were so many fraud issues with this program. It was temporarily suspended, but it has now since resumed. And this is what has happened to Springfield, Ohio. Haitians are eligible for SNAP, which is food stamps. They get refugee cash assistance. They also get SSI. They get rent assistance and get to skip credit checks for housing. Isn't that nice? They get 8 months of free health insurance, followed by Medicaid, if eligible. And they get 5 years of support from ORR, which includes daycare for children. They have driver's license. And then there's other private incentives on top of it. And there's government websites for every one of these programs that they are eligible for and receive. And what's really ironic about all this, of course, citizens are not eligible or receive anywhere near these benefits. To give you an idea, since 2018, it's estimated that illegal aliens have sent nearly $700 billion back to their home countries. And again, that's after many of them enjoyed free education, lunches, free medical care, rent assistance, you name it, paid for by the American taxpayer. You wonder why all this is going on. And there's many reasons behind it. I've discussed some of the reasons by the U.S. Census counting illegals in their census, which is giving states like California, New York, Illinois, many more House seats than they deserve. Representatives are supposed to be representatives of the citizens of the U.S., not illegals, but that is what is happening. Also gives those states more electoral college votes than they deserve. The estimates run to be about 20 to 22 House seats are because of illegals counted in those three states alone, and in addition to electoral college votes. That's tremendous power, folks. That's a lot of federal power that's going to the Democrats, because those are predominantly blue areas, simply because they count heads. They count the people that are there, legal or otherwise. They don't even have to vote, and they still get benefits or power. The Democrats get power for a reason. But there's more to it than that. BlackRock, for example, has bought thousands of properties. Many of the Wall Street institutional investors have bought thousands of rental properties across the country, and they house illegals. If this stops or they're deported, that income will stop. So many of our Wall Street institutional investors are taking advantage of this illegal invasion and making money from it. But it even gets worse than that. Many of these elected officials, it seems like, have a greater incentive to protect their investments. It turns out that you have a place like Springfield, Ohio, where 20,000 to 30,000 Haitians have moved into a town of about 60,000, which is crazy. That's a crazy number. But it turns out the mayor of that town apparently is a large rental real estate investor. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but certainly he's in a position of power to take advantage of the situation. Apparently, he owns a lot of rental homes. Now, whether he's renting directly to these Haitians or not, he would still benefit indirectly by the shortage of housing and the increased rents that would come as a result of it. This mayor is very likely just looking out for his best interest rather than his community, because any sane, rational person would understand bringing in 20,000 to 30,000 people from another country, you are dramatically changing the fabric of that society, and not in good ways. You're not representing your people as mayor of that town or that community. You're looking out for your own best interests. And we have far, far too much of that going on in this country at all levels, federally, state, local. There are so many people that have figured out that they can get into the political system, oftentimes mislead who they really are or what their intentions are, instead of representing the people that they were elected to represent. They are literally looking out for their best interest and making a bunch of money as a result. When we have far, far too many people like that. Now, it's our fault as the American people. As I've said many times, we've allowed this to happen for far too long. We just haven't paid attention. We've been asleep at the wheel, myself included. But we either wake up and realize this and realize what these people are doing and get them out. Again, if they're for censorship in any way, shape, or form, they need to be replaced. If they're for open borders, illegal immigration, they didn't do their utmost to do everything to try to stop it, they need to be replaced. If they're for spending more money than they receive, they're just adding to inflation, they need to be replaced. They need to start representing the interests of the U.S. citizens, their constituents, their people. Whether you're a mayor, a governor, representative, a House or Senate, senator, or the president, it doesn't matter, or any other level, they need to represent the people of their constituency. And if they don't, the people need to wake up and replace them with someone who will. That will solve the problem. And that is truly the only real solution to this. So we wake up and replace these people and stop listening to the agendas of the legacy media and trying to pit people against each other. And we either come together as Americans, as people, and get rid of these people that are not doing their job, not representing, just looking out for their own best interest, or we're going to continue to pay the price, and it will only get worse. I know this because I talk to Americans every day from coast to coast. Most Americans are pretty awesome people. They're pretty decent, reasonable folks. The average American is pretty extraordinary. Unfortunately, most of our leadership is extraordinarily poor and just looking out for their own best interest. Americans deserve better leadership. As always, stay tuned to the Your Personal Bank show next week. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
This is Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information. The presenter and guests of this program do not engage in legal, accounting, or tax advice. Professional advice regarding your situation should be sought if required.
Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank show hosted by Ference Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them.
These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. Brave to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.